Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there. It is a gorgeous fall day here on the seacoast, October 24th, 2012. It's amazing. I've been uploading videos and making videos on and off the last week or so and going through some of our old episodes, and I can't believe it's October, mid-October. Wow. So today's topic is about happiness. How to be happy, how to get happy, and the process. It's kind of strange to have a radio show dedicated to finding your happiness, but evidently it's clearly needed because mm-hmm. there are many very, very deeply unhappy people out there. I know at least in my world, a lot of this unhappiness is triggered by the political mm-hmm. back and forth that's going on here in the States. I know in some of my pen pals' worlds where there's, you know, mm-hmm. wars and poverty and things like that, there's a lot of conversation on being sad or depressed or unhappy. And, you know, you can't control what other people do, but you can definitely control what you can do for yourself, and that's getting happy. Mm-hmm. So that's the topic for the day. News as well for everyone. We will be cutting the show down to 45 minutes to an hour. The show's too long, I think. If anybody has any input out there, that would be great. Feel free to give me a ping on Facebook or email me, rusty@rustymacdonald.com, and let me know if that's an issue for you. But I think an hour is max. We've been going an hour and a half, and that seems just to be a little too long for people. Or at least for the videos. You can now find us on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, as well as YouTube. And over the next month, there'll be several more coming out. Mm-hmm. My week was fantastic, busy, as I just outlined. Yours?
Mine was busy and a little draining, but mm-hmm. It's on a good roll now. So, you know, I'm coming out of that draining period of dealing with some people in my family, but everything's on the right path now. So
sweet.
I feel good today.
Right. Good. Getting her happy on.
Yeah.
So for everybody who's on my Facebook, you noticed that late last night I posted this really great video of a young man who decided to have a senior prank at his school, and I think it was
that
Chicago.
Was cute. It was cute.
And it could have gone one of two ways when mm-hmm. the dean showed up, and this young man was shaking his moneymaker, dancing it up, and slid right into the dean. And the dean looked at him and did an Irish jig. I was so proud. Life is too short. Do it.
And how did the kids react? They came in and started dancing with him, and
I said,
you know, that. How long did that last? 30 seconds?
Right.
And it brought that entire room into happiness. I love it.
Exactly. So so let's get happy. Let's talk about happy. How to be happy. Now, one of the things that I wanted to point out is there's pleasure and there's happiness. So, Amy, what do you think the difference between pleasure and happiness?
Do we really want to go there on the radio?
Sex is pleasure.
It is. And it can bring happiness.
It does bring happiness.
She knew where I was going with that.
You had to throw it down.
Yeah, I did. But
so pleasure versus happiness.
I think happiness is more permanent.
Okay.
Where pleasure is a spur of a moment.
Ah, very good. So happiness, by definition, is an internal. Pleasure is an mm-hmm. external.
Yep.
So
that's how I would define it, I think.
So, you know, sex might...
It's all levels.
It covers all bases. And for those of you who have children running around the room, you might want to put a headphones on.
No, we'll clean it up.
All right. So, you know, really understanding the difference between the external pleasures, sex, splurge shopping, things. What else can you think of?
Well, any kind of addiction to anything can give you that little pleasure.
Right.
But they don't necessarily lead to happiness.
Exactly. My coffee addiction
mm-hmm.
gives me pleasure. Does not lead me to happiness. I think.
But that's okay. It's okay to have those little pleasures. As long as they're not overindulgent all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. So talk about some pleasurable overindulgent activities that people confuse with happiness. So. Wow.
Well, we've indulged in an occasional bottle of wine here and there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's a guilty pleasure.
Let's see. You know, again, back to addictions, drug addictions.
Right. Yeah, and people can be prescribed medication,
yep.
and it can appear to make them have that pleasurable, but
they confuse it with happiness.
They confuse it with happiness. So happiness
right.
is the overall feeling of happiness, and it coming from within. I don't know how to, you said it too, but I don't know how else to describe
it. It's an internalized emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, basically anything that's external that gives you short-term, what we confuse as happiness, but it really is just pleasure,
mm-hmm.
eating 5 pounds of chocolate, and then you go into the cycle
mm-hmm.
of shaming or self-critical thought.
Mm-hmm.
You start offering, you know, this anxious behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big cycle.
Yeah, it's like a self-judgment session.
So, self-destruction in some ways, but you end up getting like 5-pound candy bar bag and eating it all, or chips, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever that pleasure that you're
mm-hmm.
construing as happiness. And then you get into a guilt.
Right.
And you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And but then you have these other feelings that are not associated with happiness or pleasure, so you go back to that behavior.
Because that's the only way that you actually feel what you think is happiness.
Exactly.
For that moment. But if it isn't a lingering happiness,
right.
then it isn't truly happiness. And that's hard to explain to people. Because do we feel happy every single second of the day? No, but we can have longer periods of happiness if you know how to do that.
And that's what we're going to learn.
Yay.
All right. So, you know, some of the things that we need to consider is how long does it take to make a decision about something? So we don't want the impulsive, pleasurable decision, but we don't necessarily want to linger on it, because then we get into critical thinking in a way
mm-hmm.
that causes us unhappiness. Splurging, we kind of talked a little bit about
mm-hmm.
the splurging. So splurging is a great thing. Splurging is awesome
mm-hmm.
as long as you're not splurging on things,
mm-hmm.
objects. Splurge on experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Experiences will internally cause happiness. You'll have this memory. You'll have this sound. You know, I want to take Chloe to the Blue Man Group.
Mm-hmm.
And last 2 Sundays we've been planning to go, and something's come up and we haven't been able to go. But that's going to be a huge experience for her
mm-hmm.
because you have the visuals and you have the sound
mm-hmm.
and it's going to have this multitude of auditory
mm-hmm.
pieces that will affect her memory.
Mm-hmm.
So splurge on experience. What kind of experience have you splurged on before that you...
Well, when you said the Blue Man Group, what come to mind is my dear friend Jessica
mm-hmm.
treated me and my girls to the Nutcracker Ballet. We had never seen it.
Christmas.
We had never seen it before, and my girls danced. So for them to see
mm-hmm.
what they're learning and cultivate on stage
mm-hmm.
and what they're passionate about, and watching them gave me happy. Just watching them
mm-hmm.
watch the ballet gave me happiness. And it's that special time that you spend together. Like you said,
mm-hmm.
it gets all senses, you know, theatrical performances, musical performances. Women group always wanted to see.
I know.
you know, instead of popping them in front of the TV, you
right.
know, take them out and have these experiences. My daughters still talk to it to this day, that now it's going to become a tradition that we go
good.
To the Nutcracker. And it, you know, that whole experience, having them be there and, you know, see those dancers on stage and what they can do with their bodies and the story that they tell
mm-hmm.
all at this, it is amazing to me. I had been to many theatrical performances, but never a ballet.
Right.
So, you know, when I thought, you know, are they going to be too bored? they were right on the edge of their seat the whole time.
That's
so
great.
It's really cool.
Well, and as you know, Sunday fun day for us,
mm-hmm.
that's what we do. It's
we
all
try
experience
to do that too.
Based.
But I love that you don't even tell her a lot of the times where you're going. You just get in the car and go.
You just go. pick a place on the map, point your finger, we go. But, you know, there's so many multitudes. There's so much value in having experience over a thing. Things are not necessary, and for me, I hate dusting. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is dusting, so why accumulate more things? So, you know, really spurge on experiences. People who splurge on things, what happens there?
I'm a true expert on that one.
All right. So let's talk about splurging on things.
When you splurge on things, it's so temporary. So then you're already, you get that thing, you feel that excitement, you're happy, and then you're looking for the next thing.
Right.
Almost immediately. So then you've heard of people that are hoarders. Those are extremists in collecting things.
Yep.
Because they are not finding that happiness in their life, and that when they buy that thing, it brings them a little bit of happiness. So then it comes into their life.
Right.
And not only was it temporary, then they hang on to that thing. And it keeps reminding them that it doesn't bring them happiness anymore.
So then we go back into the cycle of?
Yes.
Shaming or self-critical thoughts, fear messages, depression or anxiety, going back to pleasure, which is an external gratification, mm-hmm. trying to find the internal peace, which is happiness. One of the conversations I recently had was in regards to happiness. I believe we're all born happy. I believe.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
In my heart of hearts, that we are born happy.
You see a baby smile for the first time.
Yeah.
Really? That
yeah.
is like the most exuberant,
yep.
happy thing in the world.
Absolutely. So my pen pal in Switzerland, I asked him today, I said, so what are your thoughts about becoming happy? How do you become happy? His response was, go back to the basics. Mm. Very cute. He said, well, I can't become an infant again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in some regards, he's right. Go back to the basics. So what happened to you as a child that deterred you from remaining happy?
Well, there's a lot of things that happened to us as a child.
Absolutely. I mean, that wasn't
I'm saying is the negative, we're not born with those negative thought processes.
Not
we
at all.
Have zero negative thought processes
right.
when we are born.
Right.
As we grow and we learn, that's why if you ever study child psychology, the critical part of their development is in their early years, because what they absorb and they witness and they hear and they experience during the first 3 or 4 years of their life really makes up who they are.
Right.
So when you are, it's hard for me to come back around what I was trying to say.
It's environmental factors.
So they'll hear things like, you know, sayings that you hear, you know. One thing that I always heard growing up is that nice people are never rich. Okay? Nice people or rich people are always mean, you know,
okay.
one or the other.
There
okay,
was some just, association with money
and
personality.
So I tell people, I say, so if you hear this growing up, you know, oh, rich people are greedy, rich people are this, and rich people are that. So you go on through life wondering, how come I never can make it ahead or be rich if that's what you desire to be? And it's because, do you want to be that greedy, mean person? No, you want to be a nice person, and nice people are poor.
So what you're trying to say is you're wired.
You're wired.
And subconsciously, these are your thoughts
mm-hmm.
because of your environment.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. It creates your belief system.
Right. And we'll get back to that, because that goes under the chronic unhappiness that we're going to talk about a little bit.
Okay.
So thinking and chronic unhappiness, they go hand in hand. So
mm-hmm.
Happiness. What happened, you know, for me, my day, how I start my day is I wake up anywhere between 4 and 6 a.m. and I get up out of my bed. I make my coffee. That does make me happy because mm-hmm. I know that small
and
pleasure.
And again, little indulgences,
little,
okay.
Yep, I'm having my tea, so I'm getting better. And I crawl back into bed. And then I go through all of the things that I'm grateful for. And I usually write them down. I have my little grateful list. And 50%, there was a study that I saw, I think it's 50 or 60% of people who have a routine
mm-hmm.
and they celebrate their happiness or mm-hmm. what they're grateful for or prayer, they are chronically happy. Yes, mm-hmm. I said chronically happy. You can be chronically happy. You can
yes.
be chronically unhappy, but mm-hmm. that's for later. So I do my list, and then I get up, crawl back out of bed, because my bed is my happy place. I pour my coffee, I drink my coffee, and I either put on a comedy video or a motivational thing,
mm-hmm.
or I scroll through my countless Facebook fans and read their walls, because some of the things they put on
are funny. And it makes you happy. You smile
yeah.
and you laugh. It's part of happiness.
But that's how I start my day.
Yep.
So how do you start your day so that you have...
Somewhat like yours, but
yeah.
mine's a little, as you know, a little bit more hectic. I mean, I get up early as well.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get up a little earlier so I can do that.
Yeah.
I can be grateful and just be in my own space for just a moment.
Right.
Before I have to get up and get two girls off to school.
Yeah.
And but I am getting more back into my routine again. I don't get as much meditation time in that I would like,
yeah.
but I'm not beating myself up about it. I'm saying I got 10 minutes in. That's good.
Exactly.
Or I can get an hour in. That's wonderful. You know, I'm just giving myself credit for what I do get in and not beating myself up for what I didn't get in.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm trying to do now, and it's really helping me. So giving yourself an achievable goal, and then if you can do more, wonderful.
Right.
But give yourself achievable goals. So that way you're not creating that negative self-talk, like, I didn't get this done, I didn't get that done. Give yourself 3 things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You accomplish that. You have a sense of accomplishment. Oh, great. Well, now I can attack that. And you can mark that off, too. So it's an extra. And that lately has been bringing me some happiness because I
yeah.
feel like I've accomplished something.
Yeah. So starting your day in or within the realms of
a routine,
a good routine, a healthy routine, a safe routine,
mm-hmm.
a routine that promotes and exhilarates your mind to think happy and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. I
mm-hmm.
cannot, you know.
And I never used to do that. I'd get up in a tizzy. Everything was late. Everything was this and rush, rush, rush. And I found myself having heart palpitations and
right.
health issues.
Right.
And then when I learned how, but that's how I grew up. That's how my household was.
Right. So your environmental factor ended
mm-hmm.
up, you know, branching off into
mm-hmm.
your everyday because that's what you knew. That's
and
what
I
was...
see it in my kids, too, sometimes,
yeah.
that they display the same. So now I'm trying to be a good example for them as well,
right.
you know, to go back and practice what I preach.
Right.
You know.
So scientifically, it's been discovered that if you... have the same type of behavior in the morning that you do before you go to sleep. So years ago, I was a stress basket, and you guys will read why when my book finally gets mm-hmm. published. But I would go to bed very anxious and very stressed out and just going through my day, you know, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why are we going through this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd fall asleep that way. And then I'd wake up
that way.
And over the last few years, I've learned to go to sleep with my handy little blue racket and swat away those things that you can't change. And really focus on, you know, my grateful list, my gratitude list, the things that really were wonderful about the day. And I'll fall asleep with happy thoughts to wake up to more happy thoughts, which then spreads out. And the more you do this and the more you have this pattern, and for me, I add meditation too because I love my time. You're rewiring your brain.
Recharging your batteries.
You're recharging your batteries, exactly. So you're getting yourself out of the shaming and self-critical thoughts and the fear messages that people tend to live in, because it's kind of what we're programmed to do. You know, I stopped watching TV 2 years ago. I stopped watching the news in the morning. That made a huge difference right there.
Absolutely.
Because I don't have that negative imagery anymore.
I watch it to get the weather. That's it.
Nope.
I shut it off.
I use my iPhone going, I hope they updated it right. And I rarely ever listen to the radio, because then, you know, there's even more.
There's too much negativity
too much negative stuff
right out there now.
So that's a huge part of it, is changing your physical environment to be in an environment that's conducive to making you happy, to stimulate happiness. And it's, you know, frankly, it's kind of sad that we have to relearn how to be happy because we were. And then we became otherwise. So one of the things that I wanted to really express is the acceptance of the moment. Really, really hard for all of us to do. And it takes practice and practice and practice, because there are times where, you know, yesterday I had a really nasty email sent to me, and I had to be accepting of the moment and understand that this person's actions are their actions, has nothing to do with me. It's not within my control. Doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Doesn't mean it wasn't shocking. Because 90% of what I get beautiful things from everybody else, in literally in the world. So every now and then you get those bombs, and but you know, it's really what you can control versus what you can't control, and that's very difficult for us, because we are such a fast-paced, plugged-in creature. I don't even know if we're human anymore. I mean, we're really turning into this little electronical creature that everything's immediate gratification, and
the immediate gratification is actually quite disturbing, because
that goes back to the external pleasure. But this is what we're training, and this is how we focus ourselves to be. You know, our jobs, our schools.
Communication.
If you can't get a hold of somebody on Facebook,
they don't like you anymore. What did I do wrong?
Right. But but it's the immediate gratification, the immediate communications, the urgency of being self-touched in some way. You know, there are people who, if I don't respond to them via text within 5 minutes, they get very upset. It's like, really? you know, but I'm old, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to someone today on the phone, and I'm trying to be a multitasker.
Right.
And I talk to a lot of people in my work. So I'm watering my orchids.
Right.
She goes, are you peeing?
I've had that too.
I'm not peeing. I promise you, my son's laughing. She goes, well, I guess you're not, because I can hear your son. He was in the kitchen with me, and I was just going back and forth from my greenhouse to water my orchids. And
I've had that too. No, I'm doing dishes. But that's happy.
Yeah, but it made us laugh.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it came out of kind of not really a negative source, but just that worst case scenario.
But, yes. So let's talk about what's in your control and what's out of your control, and really what worry is. Is it a useful tool, this thing called worry that we surround ourselves with?
It's certainly not a useful tool, but it's a very hard tool to get rid of.
Right. So how do you go about worry? You know, for me, I look at worry, and I used to be the biggest worry wart, which is why, you know, going to
stress.
Bed. I had the stress, exactly. It was learning what was in my control versus what was not in my control.
Your thoughts are in your control.
Absolutely.
And what
and
you think about manifests itself. So if someone came to me and said, do you have a magic spell that will... I said, yeah. Say I love you to yourself.
Right.
And they're like, huh?
Right.
I said, do you say I love you to the people you love? Yeah. Do you love yourself? Yeah. Well, how come you don't tell yourself you love yourself?
Mm.
and they think I'm weird, but that's okay because I don't really care.
Because I love myself that much.
I love myself, and right. If you love me, that's wonderful. If you don't, it's really not a big deal to me.
Right.
It's your own choice. But the worry is what a lot of people, especially right now.
It's huge right now.
In my practice, that's what I deal with all the time,
mm-hmm.
is the worry, the worry, the worry. And I'm like, well, if you keep focusing and spending all your energy focusing on that one negative worry thought,
right.
then the universe thinks that's what you want.
Right.
So it gives it to you.
Right.
So all the negative thinking attracts all the negative things. So we, you know that saying, be careful what you wish for.
It's true.
It is true.
Yeah. So again, you know, worrying about things that are out of your control is serving you absolutely no purpose. It is not helping you. It is not making you happy. And it's not even giving you pleasure. So take worry out of your diet. A little bit every day. Just take a little bit of worry out of your diet every day. So the check didn't come in the mail today. Okay, let it go. It'll
go
be there tomorrow.
Walk.
Go
yeah.
for a walk.
Do something that costs no money. I've done that. When you know, instead of like, I got to have that right now.
Right.
You know, I don't know if the deposit went in or not, and I just now wait until
yep.
I know that deposit went in. And if we don't have any money to go do something, I find something to do that doesn't cost anything.
Right.
You know.
So dwelling and worrying are good
dwelling
cousins.
Worrying. Yeah,
I
they
think
are.
Good
and
cousins.
they kind of go hand in hand because the dwelling is what keeps you in that quagmire
mm-hmm.
place. That keeps you in that murky place.
Yep.
And a lot of people are having a hard time digging out of that murky place.
Especially right now with,
mm-hmm.
with the economy not being at its peak like we've lived.
The political arena is keeping us on edge more than what we really should give it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what matters really, folks, is your vote. That's it. You don't need to
explain yourself.
And you don't need to prove your point. It's
right.
okay if you and your friends don't agree. It's still your choice.
Well, here anyway, but we're saying. International.
But
so.
And the thing is it. Whenever these elections go on, and you have people from the outside, because I too have people that live, not as many as you, of course, but I have a few people scattered outside.
I avoid the conversation.
We look ridiculous. I just have to say it. I'm sorry, but that's what we look like from the outside with this whole thing.
But I am going to pull you back and say, and going to be the coach lady that I am, and say, you're dwelling on it. What they're seeing mm-hmm. in the term ridiculous and those judgments and those criticisms, that's them.
Right.
That has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you.
No.
It has
and that's
nothing
what
to do
I,
with.
Why I said it.
Yeah. Good. You set me up. You rarely ever set me up. Good.
I'm not as good at it as you are. But I had to take my moment.
Yeah. No, that was excellent. So that's, that has to do with them. That's out of our control.
That's what I say to every single person I talk to. It's there,
Whether it's political or the wars that are going on or, all of the stuff that we're surrounded in negativity, just turn off the tube, turn off the radio.
Turn on some music.
Take your clothes off. Not even kidding. Take your clothes off, blare your music, and dance naked in your living room. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
If it makes you laugh, great. If it makes you feel good, great. Find the internal pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Internal, not external.
I put a challenge out on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that.
Today.
Yep.
So if you want to go check out my Facebook page and check out the challenge, it's Amy White-Breggy on Facebook. And I just put it's something the Dalai Lama had put a challenge out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so... since we're talking about happiness and how you can start your day, this is what I'm challenging you all to at least start your day with these words. If you can fit them in a couple more times a day, the better, but if you can at least start your day with them. And I just want you to let me know what little little changes happen in your life this week, and then we can talk about it.
Absolutely. So we're going to bat away dwelling. We're going to bat away worry. We're really going to acknowledge, take a breath, acknowledge the situation, what's in your control, what's out of your control. The guy who cuts you off is out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it, so flipping them off, using derogatory language, putting your, as my friend says, panties in a bunch, nothing, you know, there's no point.
Mm-mm.
It's completely out of your control.
He's going to be out of your vision in about 10 seconds.
Right.
So.
And it's not, don't confuse that with being complacent and don't confuse that with being in denial. It's really acknowledging that moment for what it is, what your role is, how you choose to react because it is your choice, which then will either internalize as a happy moment, peaceful, calm, cool, collected, or it'll internalize back into the shaming or self-critical thoughts, the fear messages, depression, anxiety. So stuff happens to us all the time. We are human. It's a fast-paced, electrocharged world. But what your reaction and what your role in that will internalize as either a good or a bad.
Yeah.
Just like you're thinking.
It's the outcome.
Right. So chronic unhappiness, how many people, and I can just mentally, telepathically see hundreds of hands and heads that just shot up going, oh, I know people like that. People who are chronically unhappy, people who are constantly causing drama, people who just can't get out of their own way. What do you do with that?
Walk away.
Okay. Walking away is a good one.
You don't have to inject yourself in the drama. You can walk away from it. You can choose to walk away from it.
Yeah.
You can choose to be the solution if you want to, but also remember that you're actually coming into the drama. So
right.
It can be tricky.
Right. And for people like me, that's our job.
Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody. Trust me.
But there are methods to keep a foot away or so of that drama and not own that. Again, that's internalizing. That's your reaction to the situation. It's how much you accept of that situation and how much you feel you can control. So these are all really intricate pieces. People who are chronically unhappy learn to be chronically unhappy from their environment as a child. The happiest people statistically on this planet are people that are extremely poor. They got nothing. But
they make do with what they have.
They make do with what they have. They work together. And they're the happiest people on earth. People are shocked whenever I tell them that.
The happiest people I've ever met in my life are the Tibetan monks.
Yep.
They have nothing. They have a bowl, what they call a begging bowl.
Right.
Their sandals and what clothing they have on
their
back.
Robe.
That's it. That's all they have. They rely on the kindness of humankind. That's huge. To open up yourself, it's vulnerable. But they're the happiest people I've ever seen. They have no attachments to anything. They have no worries. They have nothing to worry about. They live in the moment. That taught me about living in the moment is meeting them. It really did.
They live in the moment, but they also understand and appreciate and have faith.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Which is why they don't have worries, which is why they lack attachments, because things are pleasure. They're external. It's not... You know, there's no value. Yes, you have a beautiful couch set, or yes, you have, you know...
They feel fortunate for you.
Right.
That's all they feel.
Right. But internal happiness comes from a deeper perspective. In case of this show, what I'm trying to do is have everyone think and remove tiny little obstacles every day. Try something different just for a little while. Little nudges here, little nudges there. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bat away dwelling. We're going to consciously, when we start dwelling, take a breath, understand if we can control it. If we can, it's no longer dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
We can fix it. But if we can't,
letting it go.
We need to let it go. And that's huge. If everybody on the planet could just do that, it would be like the coolest place ever. We would have no drama, zero drama, because we're not sitting in this place of fear mm-hmm. messages and self-criticisms and shame thinking. So chronic unhappiness is really something that we acquire from other people that are chronically unhappy.
Yeah, learned behavior.
It's learned behavior, whether you learn it as a child, which most chronically unhappy people do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, it can happen if you get into a marriage of chronically unhappy people.
Mm-hmm. Or even in a workforce
of chronically unhappy people.
Yeah.
So, you know, removing yourself from that situation, acknowledging that you're chronically unhappy is a good step, but normally they don't. Getting out of that situation and surrounding yourself with other things.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is, you know, join a group or an activity.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and take a class. Go out.
Yeah. Meet people of the same like-mindedness that mm-hmm. you're seeking. If you like to sew, go join a sewing group and meet some people who like to sew. If you like to cook, you know, go sign up for a cooking class and find other people who like to cook. I tell people that all the time, that especially those that are dealing with addiction, you have to change your environment to change what you think about, what you want, and let's find out what makes you happy. I mean, that's one of the things that I work with every single client is what, if you could do anything, what would bring you happiness? And that working toward that goal, you know, yeah, you might not have it today, but we can work toward it, you know. What are the steps, you know? And it gets them thinking about the steps going there, and when they're making those steps and they're successful, then they get happier, and then the road gets easier.
Well, and you're surrounding yourself with like-minded
mm-hmm.
people. If you're constantly surrounding yourself with people that you're just bumping heads with, and you don't feel like you can be you, and you don't feel like you can say your mind, and you feel like you're constantly having a frying pan whacked over your head, it's externally and internally unhappy.
You don't have to be friends with them either.
Exactly.
You can limit
exactly.
what time you spend with them. You can still
right.
be a loving friend to these people. You just don't have to share all of their indulgences or whatever
right.
it may be,
right.
you know. But you can still, you know, I tell my daughters that, you know, there may be kids that, you know, that don't really see things eye to eye with you or don't like the same interests as you, but you can still be friends with these people. You just have to, you know what you're comfortable with.
Exactly. Don't poke the bear, as I always
mm-hmm.
say. All right, so we kind of touched base a little bit on chronic unhappiness and how to get yourself out of that and where it really comes from. You know.
Can I share a mantra I use a lot with this?
With a chronic unhappiness piece? Sure.
Yeah. We were talking about positive energy, positive, you know, thoughts. So the mantra I use is, I willingly and lovingly release and let go all that no longer serves me in a positive and productive way. And what that says is, you're accepting whatever that is that you're releasing, you're accepting it. That's the key, is actually accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just willingly and lovingly letting it go. Letting it go, because if it no longer serves you, there's no point in you hanging on to it.
Right.
So.
And it's easy to get rid of a sweater that no longer serves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's just as easy.
It's just as easy to get rid of a feeling or a thought or a behavior that no longer serves you.
Mm-hmm.
And to limit, if not completely remove yourself from people who
mm-hmm.
no longer serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Shed that skin.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, join a group or an activity. I know there's things in America called meetups and tweetups and whatever.
Yeah, your schools too, your adult ed. Most every high school has an adult ed program.
Yep.
Where, and they're very inexpensive.
That's
you
here
can
in the
look,
U.S.
Yeah, in the U.S. you can look up. You know, things, I mean, even exercise group. We have
community centers.
Yeah, we have Noble Striders. We just get together and walk, you know. You know, just simple little things that you can do to bring yourself those, you know, real internal happiness.
I actually think, if I remember correctly, here in the U.S., all of the major mall chains, because
mm-hmm.
they have...
You're right.
Walking groups as well.
Mm-hmm. And the elderly and, you know, the mental health groups will also bring them through.
Yeah.
And it's usually the mall will open a little, you know, right at the time. But I think I remember this winter, when a couple winters ago when I worked in the mall, I was helping a girl that owned a kiosk. And there was a, that's what I noticed. A lot of people were, doing their walking, but they would open the mall a little early. And even though the storefronts weren't open, they were, people were, so it must have been those groups that were walking through. And it's, a safer place for those in the inner cities to do the mall walking.
For those of us stuck in winter wonderland.
You got to learn how to snowshoe, my friend.
Yeah, I can learn how to read a book in a fireplace while you snowshoe. I'm good with that. So some of the other things that promotes physical responses, this physical response coming from the inside of you, changing your mind, it literally changes your chemistry, literally changes your hormone levels. It changes
your health.
It raises
your dopamine level, which brings you happiness.
Joining a group, being external. You know, it's very difficult for me right now because I work out of the house, and I'm in my house 90% of the time. I call it the cave.
Hence why I want you to go snowshoeing with me.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here that long. I won't.
When you visit them.
So joining groups, that's huge. Joining classes, that's huge. And I lost my train of thought on the other piece. Darn. Oh, volunteerism. That is.
Yes.
That literally changes
your
brain chemistry. Because you are not being paid. Yeah, you might have to spend an hour or two a week at whatever, because everybody's looking for volunteers right now, especially with the economy being as challenging as it is. More companies, nonprofits, they're looking for volunteers. So if you're into pets and that brings a smile, go and volunteer at
a shelter.
A shelter. If you are into learning about history and elderly, senior citizens, that type of thing, which is more my thing, because I just think they are so
They love
amazing.
To tell their stories.
They
go
do.
Listen.
I love them. Hug, hug, hugs.
They love to tell you stories.
You know, go volunteer at a senior center. If you are really totally into kids, another favorite of mine, there's tons of places to volunteer, you know, whether it's, for me, it's community soccer or after school groups or... Mm-hmm. You know, just 2 hours a week.
You do the Girl Scouts.
You do the Girl Scouts. So 2 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make 2 hours a week, a volunteer 2 hours a week. If you're into gardening, there are tons of organizations
all over. And they're getting bigger every day.
That are looking for volunteer gardeners just to go and weed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that could be an hour a week. So there's really no excuse. But that volunteerism actually does something chemically to you because now you're doing something for somebody else. Now you're feeling proud. Now you're feeling
you made a difference in someone else's life. That's
even if it's
a life changer.
Weeding the garden. That's a huge life changer because you're part of the community. You're part of building something, and it physically.
All my classes that I do are free. You know why? Because I want to teach them.
Right.
And I don't want money to get in the way.
Right.
If they want to learn it, they can come through that door and learn.
Right.
If they're open to it. That's what I do. That's how I give back. I give back with Girl Scouts. I empower women, to young women, to be comfortable in their own skin.
Right.
And that does bring me joy. When you're sitting there and you don't expecting, you know, that's another thing. Not expecting anything in return.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah. So the volunteer, even though people are like, well, how is that going to help me? Try it.
I dare you.
Yeah.
So volunteerism is huge. And for those who are just starting to acknowledge all the negativity in their lives, that is a way to surround yourself at least 1 hour a week with something very positive. There's nothing wrong with spending an hour or two helping somebody else. Even if it's going over to help your friend's garage roof, you know, and having hot dogs and a beer.
Yeah.
But you're with your friends, you're with a community, you're doing something productive.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise is another really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that changes your body chemistry.
Yes.
It changes your attitude because you're not either anxious, exhausted, or...
And it gets you into a routine.
And it gets you into a routine, exactly. So that's another good one, but I would do a combination thereof, because sometimes mm-hmm. people just exercise, but they don't get the emotional connection mm-hmm. of other people. So, again, we're trying to cause you to be happy more often than not. So these little tiny steps, an hour or two a week, even if you join a walking group, which provides you both, you're getting mm-hmm. your exercise, plus you're getting that social integration. And or maybe this walking group is for a nonprofit organization raising funds.
Oh, you hit three of them in that one activity. Yay.
Whew, always thinking over here. It's like, do you smell the smoke?
Yeah, I can see it.
So, all right, so what did we cover? We covered pleasure, mm-hmm. which is external, quick fixes, things that give you a moment of happiness, but not long-term happiness. It doesn't come from the inside. Happiness, internal. How do you get to happiness? How do you become happy? And it's hard at first for a lot of people, and I watch it all the time. What do you mean I'm not happy? That frickin' bleep, bleep, bleep just cut me off. Yeah, I don't think you're too happy. You know, so what can you control? What can you not control? You can control whether or not you're dwelling on that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You can control whether or not you worry about that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So getting rid of those things, lessening them. I can't even say get rid of, because that would not be fair.
Hmm.
You have to lessen them every day, little bits.
Yep, and that's where the whole realistic goals come in.
Right. Join a group or an activity or both. Or find one that's really cool that gives you a 3-for-1 special. We love those.
Mm-hmm.
Really focus on internal stuff. Don't dwell on internal stuff. Don't dwell on shaming or critical thoughts or fear messaging, because it's a highway. Your brain's a highway. These words are going to flow through.
Mm-hmm.
Very normal. Don't grab them. Don't attach yourself to them.
No. Nope.
Just let them go. Okay.
Yep. In, out.
Gone.
Yep.
Once you get better at that, you will notice a huge difference in how you react to things. You will notice a huge difference on the things that you feel that you can control, that if you took a step back, took a breath, realized it's out of your control, there's nothing you can do about it, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You get better. It's practice. Gratitude journals, gratitude journals, gratitude journals. I cannot say enough about journaling.
I can't either. I was good with the gratitude journals, and I was good at writing what I wanted.
I think they're both appropriate, though.
Right.
Yep.
And but I also, what you want and what you're grateful for can be two different things. So
exactly.
I really think it's okay to dream and want and put good positive energy out there, because, like I said, what you think about manifests. So if
mm-hmm.
you think about good things happening to you, they will happen.
Right.
But being grateful for what you already have is vital, because if you're not grateful for what you already have, the universe isn't going to give you anything else. So.
Well, and it's also an acknowledgement, because you're sitting there, lying there in my case, lying in my bed, mm-hmm. writing in my gratitude journal. I'm going, oh, my God, that's right. Chloe made it funny today. Oh, that's right. So you're kind of reliving
those
moments.
Those happy moments.
Like this morning when I went to walk the girls to the bus stop, my neighbor thanked me, and she gave me this great card that says, you're such a blessing, and just beautiful words on the inside, because the girls are always spending the night and, mm-hmm. and whatever. And like, you didn't have to do that. That was really sweet, you know. But this goes into my gratitude journal, because
and what is it
I get
do
to
for her?
It. Oh,
she
my
gave
gosh.
You gratitude.
Absolutely.
So that made her feel good, because she's making you
right.
feel good, because you make her feel good. And that exchange is just keep it going. That
oh,
ping
yeah.
pong ball of
it.
Happiness is great.
And last week when you were out mm-hmm. teaching,
mm-hmm.
I sent 2 care packages to 2 people.
Right.
It was so
That's
funny, because one
idea.
Was California and one, and I have one, I can't say where I'm going to send my next one. That's a secret, but because sometimes that person listens to the show.
Mm.
And one was Vermont, and it took 3 days, both places. That was so funny. I'm like, California and Vermont, 3 days. But anyway, that cheered them up, and it gave me such joy, and I put it in my gratitude journal. So I got to re-experience that moment, that joyous moment, re-experiencing it before I go to bed and re-experiencing it when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing? I'm changing my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting focus on the miracles and the things that are good, and really weeding out and letting go mm-hmm. all of this negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just by doing that for 3 weeks, I promise you, you will find yourself much happier.
Mm-hmm.
And
Rusty reminds us to be happy every day, because if you drive behind her in your car,
my
it
license
says
plate says
happy.
Happy. True story. So, you know, understanding that internal happiness and what that means, accepting of the moment allows you to be more peaceful and allows you to take a break and really accept what's controllable and not controllable. Chronic unhappiness, if you know somebody's chronically unhappy, step away. Step away while you go through this and practice in your journal, in your gratitude journal.
And people in your life that you can't fix everybody all the time.
Right.
Just put out good energy for them. You know, they may not be capable at that moment.
Yep.
Prayer, whatever you want to call it. It's all good intention. Just put it out there for them.
And there's nothing wrong with hugging them and saying, you know what, I really love you.
Yep.
Because you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but you can't worry on their worry,
mm-hmm.
dwell on their dwelling. That's
right.
Not in your control.
Right.
And splurge. Splurge. You have my permission to splurge. You do not have my permission to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Splurge on experience. There are so many beautiful places to go in this world. They're
especially
amazing.
In the seacoast right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, for me, I'm really fortunate because I have pen pals on different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, you're going so, oh, you got to send me pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we get
mm-hmm.
to splurge together. And that,
right.
And what is that to?
That's the one thing that technology actually gives us, you know,
mm-hmm.
a good thing. Because I have a friend who works for NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And she sends me all these fantastic, because, you know, me
yeah.
and my astrology side of me.
Yeah.
I love the universe, and she sends me the most amazing pictures that I would probably never be
right.
able to see.
Right.
And it's a click. It doesn't cost anything. It makes me happy, and it makes her happy that it makes me happy. So, yeah, we're all happy.
Exactly. So sharing. And
yeah, sharing.
It doesn't cost you anything to do that.
Share your talent. Share your passion.
Exactly. That's what keeps me happy, but I'm always sharing. I'm like big Sherry love bug
mm-hmm.
marshmallow.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided I'm a marshmallow this week.
Yay.
So
we love marshmallows. They're sweet and...
Don't burn me.
I don't like burned marshmallows.
Okay, good.
I like them brown and toasty.
All right. So, you know, that's basically how to become happy 101.
Mm.
Pretty easy. Little
and
tiny...
And be silly.
Oh, my God.
Really? I'm going to have
you
a silly moment
me?
Friday if you want to come and see me be silly. I'm going to be reading tarot card readings for a donation based in Seabrook at my friend's haunted garage.
Sweet.
On Centennial Street. Everything she does there is this big haunted garage. Everything is donation. All the donations go to the food pantries, the soup kitchens,
nice.
All those things in my hometown. And so if you want to.
That's a 3-for-1.
Yeah, if you want to be creepy
community,
and silly. Yeah.
Activity. And
sharing
volunteer.
With friends, the kids, people
yep.
I grew
oh
up
gosh.
With.
That's a four banger.
Yep, that would be Friday.
Friday.
From 6 to 9.
Woohoo!
So,
very easy, is free, no
mm-hmm.
excuses, and being silly is, you know, a huge thing with me.
Yep, I'm going to dress up and
no
everything.
No problem with that. look at your coworker and stick your tongue out at them.
Yeah. See their reaction. What do they do? They'll smile.
They'll smile. They won't have a choice. What are you doing? Why? If you've met some of my coworkers, believe me, I was pretty goofy. Still am. But, so, happiness, it's attainable.
It's
we
achievable.
Had it. We just have to dust it off and find it again. Your choice. Always your choice on how you want to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
I choose happiness.
Yes.
Yes.
So next week here on Living and Thriving with Rusty, we have...
Ready for it?
It is Halloween. It's going to be spooktacular. I'm telling you, it's going to be so much fun. We have E&D Paranormal on, and they're going to talk to us about paranormal activity and why they actually investigate and do scientific research on a no-fee basis because they take it that seriously.
Uh-huh.
So that'll be very, very interesting. And for those of you who... may be reluctant to believe or not believe. My thought is, well, if you can believe in an angel.
Yeah.
But that's my personal belief. Tune in next week here on Living and Thriving with Rusty.
And Amy.
And it's going to be Hallows Eve, so I hope you send lots and lots of pictures of your silly, goofy costumes and what you did. And just be silly. Just be goofy. And start writing. Start laughing. And watch lots of comedies. And turn off the television. I'm telling you. Turn it off. I love you. I'm grateful for you. You are beautiful. Talk to you next week.
Be well.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.